Hi, welcome back again to lesson 4 of LEAD. Just for the purposes of reminder, LEAD stands for Learning to Evangelize and Disciple. And it's a training that equips the ordinary believer, every single person who is a follower of Christ, on how to make and multiply disciples in everyday setting. In lesson 4, we'll be looking at the practices of a disciple maker. And the word practice in this context, we're looking at the lifestyle of the disciple maker, the things that we build into our lives on an everyday basis in order to cultivate the passions that enables us to become effective in seeking the lost and introducing them to a journey with Jesus. We are going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I read, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.'" In these 12 verses, we see Jesus preparing his disciples, or in this case, his disciple makers, to go and make disciples. And the instructions he gave here are basically the same as were repeated in Matthew chapter 10, from about verse 5 all the way to 15. We also see the same in Mark chapter 6, in Luke chapter 9. So, multiple times as Jesus prepared his disciples to make disciples, he gave them certain instructions. What we want to do in lesson 4 of LEAD is to examine what practices Jesus instructed his disciples to live by. In other words, the culture they should cultivate, the lifestyle they should live by, the things that they are to inculcate into their lives on a daily basis if they are going to make disciples. So, we basically are going to look at 8 practices of a disciple maker, 8 things that Jesus said a disciple maker should do. And in the whole of lesson 4, we'll break it into parts, and we'll be looking at each one in each segment to identify the culture or the lifestyle or the practices or the habits of a disciple maker. Things that we do and can do and should do every day. The first thing we see is in verse 2. "Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So the first practice we want to examine is prayer as a lifestyle. Jesus told his disciples to pray for laborers. So the first thing we want to do is examine how did Jesus himself model this. In each of these 8 practices, we will begin by looking at what Jesus himself did that gave him such a life of impact in influencing other people into the kingdom of God. The first thing is prayer. I'd like to say that there is no way we can circumnavigate this issue of prayer if we're going to make disciples. If you look through the Gospel of Luke, you will see many instances where Jesus prayed and examples of his prayer life. So you see that Jesus prayed often. Jesus withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. Jesus climbed up mountains and he prayed. Jesus isolated himself from the crowd and he prayed. Jesus prayed all night. Jesus prayed with his disciples. Jesus prayed with vehement tears and with vehement cries and tears. Jesus prayed consistently, continuously. Jesus woke up early in the morning and went to a desolate place and prayed. We can learn a lot from the prayer life of Jesus, and we should emulate the prayer life of Jesus. Now, if Jesus prayed so much in his process of making disciples, why do you think we shouldn't pray just as much? I think if anything, we should even pray much, much more. So if we are going to see obedient disciples made, remember that it is God who is at work in people. Disciple-making movement is actually a work of God, is a work of the Spirit. It's not something we do in our flesh. It's not something we do by our own power or might. So prayer is central. Prayer is critical. Prayer ignites the process of seeing disciples made. Prayer sustains the process of seeing disciples made. So the disciple maker has to cultivate a habit or lifestyle of prayer. The implications of a prayerless life is that it is powerless. It does not draw from the powers of God to impose on situations on earth and change it in the favor of God's kingdom. So we need to grow in prayer. I remember many years ago, well, not so long, but sometime in the late 90s, it just dawned on me, I really didn't know how to pray. I'd been raised in a Christian home, attended church very frequently, and basically grew up around Christian people. But in the year 1998, it just occurred to me that I really didn't know how to pray. I was part of a fellowship then, a bunch of young people whose prayer lives challenged me deeply. And I began to feel very, very discontent with my prayer life. I couldn't pray more than 5 minutes at most. I would stretch myself and pray at most 10 minutes. But I saw people who were praying 1 hour, 2 hours. One day, I accosted one of the leaders of the fellowship and I asked him, when you pray for 1 hour, what do you say? What do you say? What kind of conversations do you have with God for 1 hour? Because I couldn't go beyond 5 minutes. And he told me, basically, you yield to the Spirit and allow him to take over. I said, what does that mean? And of course, he shared tips with me. He's my very dear friend, Guinea Okara. And he shared tips with me that I will never forget. But he was a person of prayer and he still is. And since then, in the last 22 years, I have grown in prayer by the grace of God. I like to say that the best way that we learn to pray is good to attend prayer seminars, prayer conferences, read books on prayer, and hang around praying people. But the best way to learn to pray is to pray. So I became very discontent and began to tell God, teach me to pray. I don't know how to pray. To make matters worse for me, I came across a scripture, Luke 18 verse 1, where Jesus said, men always ought to pray and never faint. And that was just like an impossible task for me. Always ought to pray. So I kept telling God, teach me to pray. Help me to pray. I don't know how to pray. This was a burden that went on for months. What I didn't realize was that in saying those things to God, I was actually praying. So the way to learn to pray is really to pray. Let's fumble at it at first, but we need to go deeper in prayer. I want to ask, are you content or satisfied with your present prayer life? Can you set new goals? Can you set new targets? Can you make a definite and deliberate an intentional plan to grow in prayer? If you look at the book of Acts, you'll see how the early church did exploits for God. But right from chapter 1 all through the book of Acts, you will see vibrant prayer going on. It says they were in one accord together and they were praying. In one other instance, the Bible says that they gathered in one place and as they prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken. No wonder they shook the city because their prayer lives were so robust that all the forces that sought to oppose them could not withstand the onslaught of prayer that these disciples and apostles unleashed over the city, and disciples were made, disciples were added, disciples were multiplied. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing, to make prayer a lifestyle. And of course, James 5 tells us that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to challenge us in this whole journey of making disciples. We have to develop and sustain a robust prayer life. Jesus says, I'm sending you out, but you need to pray. You need to pray. Pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. As you go out to make disciples, can you begin to ask God within the area where you are seeking to make disciples, ask Him for laborers within the harvest. Pray for the lost. Spend considerable time praying for the lost. Somebody said that heaven does nothing until somebody on earth prays. I believe so. Because prayer is the means by which we grant permission for heavenly invasion into earthly things. Remember that you and I have been given dominion on the earth. The heaven of the heavens belongs to God, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. One way that we allow heaven to invade the earth is when we develop a prayer life that God can work with. So pray for the lost. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that you would not faint in the day of adversity. Pray that you would see what God is doing. Pray that you would hear what God is saying. That is how Jesus functioned. He said, I do nothing unless I see my Father do. I say nothing except what I hear my Father say. You find that in John 5:19, John 5:30. So one thing that prayer does is that it opens us up to be influenced by God. It aligns our lives to God. Prayer draws us into His presence, where we become sensitive and we begin to be influenced by Him. The person who prays cannot be like the person who does not pray. There will be a difference. Prayer is the means by which we exercise our access to the throne that rules the universe. And from there, we begin to influence things on earth. Prayer is the means by which we allow the hand of God to change the course of history. So we need to grow in prayer. We need to become a people of prayer, basically. We keep saying that there is no disciple-making movement without prayer, and there is no sustaining of such movement without prayer. Jesus prayed for His disciples. Jesus sorted things with God all night on the mountain in prayer, and then He came down and began to select those to disciple. I challenge us and encourage us to practice listening prayer as well, so that prayer does not become a monologue, something that we are just throwing our requests to God like a shopping list. But prayer becomes an opportunity to tarry in His presence, to wait and listen and ask Him, what is He doing? Where is He working? What is He saying? Who is He drawing to Himself, so that we can join Him in partnership? So, practice of a disciple maker, number one, chief priority among all of them is prayer. So let's cultivate a life of prayer. Let's practice all kinds of prayer, like Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, praying with all manners of prayer, intercessory prayers, prayers of declaration, governmental prayers, you know, prayers of authority, praying with intercession, with petitions, prayers of thanksgiving, all kinds of prayer. And let's see how God will open up doors and opportunities for us to make disciples that are obedient to Jesus.